Exciting times in place for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, as we're going to learn more about Matt Copeland and his work in Africa for USMEF as they recently held an opportunity to introduce those in Africa to U.S. proteins.
Certainly, Susan. So my role is I'm the Africa representative for the United States Meat Export Federation. I'm based in Durban, and we've been building a team, HR. So we have a new candidate who's joined us 8 months ago in Cape Town, and last month we appointed someone in Ghana. So we have boots on the ground to try and facilitate relationships, offers, trade. And the whole industry will benefit from more market access, and certainly from an affordability point of view. Some of the palate choices in the West, in the USA, things like variety meats, both beef and pork, they don't necessarily find a home so easily there. And, you know, that product would normally be exported at a slight premium to the world markets, to China. But when there's complexity now, China, so it's a wonderful opportunity to come and sell some of those products that are actually in high demand in some of these poorer countries in Africa.
It is something completely new for USMEF, and now a trade seminar is taking place. Let's talk about what you guys are hoping to share with folks that are attending the seminar.
Yeah, we have amazing resources provided from some of the government funding sources like the EMP and the RAPP. Off the back of that, critically, we had 13 companies assist from the US side in terms of coming actively looking for markets here. And we had support from our Climate Beef Council, participated in presenting in one of the sessions. But the key crux of this matter is the next part is that we had 76 buyers in the room from 51 companies and 13 countries represented. So I can tell you the volume of tonnage that each of those companies procure every month is immense. And collectively, well over 100,000 tons of the protein bought by these candidates monthly. And I have a history trading some of these ag commodities, so it's really nice to be able to facilitate through a bridge of trust, which is what USMEF provides into many markets. But now here in Africa, we had some of our best and most capable, most incredible trading companies forward-facing to the African market. Some of them is their first time visiting West Africa. Others have traded here for a long time, but maybe haven't met everyone here because they've been locked in a particular channel. They could meet the group. We could facilitate a number of B2B sessions. I think we had four in the end, speed dating style, and, you know, just to help catalyze some of these relationships that I know need to happen for trade to flow. And we're just pleased that everyone was so generous in donating their time and actually being at the events. And I think that it's gone really well.
Matt, what are they looking for when it comes to proteins from the United States? Are they looking beef, pork, lamb, a combination thereof, and the quality that they're looking for?
Yeah, sure. It's a great question. So, you know, the Gini coefficient gets thrown around, banded around a bit. And obviously that's like a commercial economic measure of in-country haves versus the have-nots. And so each of these markets, really, if you were to investigate it further, I mean, they all have elite by either happenstance or some different levels of government involved or different, you know, successful entrepreneurs. So there are people here who buy on quality. They want to have experiences, the best steaks in the world. USDA Prime fits into that category, obviously. And then the have-not side, you have people that are probably sub-economic and then really don't have options. And so even our variety meats from the US are far more consistent, and our supply chain is just far more wholesome from a food safety standards point of view than some of the others that we compete with here. You know, some of the consistency and things like Indian buffalo meat, I wouldn't be too thrilled in terms of the variety meat space because there's often contamination and problems. So our food safety and in pork, beef, and lamb, it just offers them something that they know that they're parting with dollars they don't have too many of, and they're going to get an experience that still is very, very safe and very wholesome for them. So, and nutrition, I mean, there's some superfoods in the categories that I mentioned here, and the palatability hasn't changed yet. And we have a massive emerging middle class in Africa. So, you know, Africa in the next 25 years will add 1 billion people. We see the middle class growing by at least 30 to 40%. And We still haven't managed to, through integrated agriculture in these individual countries, managed to feed ourselves. So it's just really, really exciting because if you think about who interprets these markets the best, it's legitimately the companies that are in the room this week. They've been pioneering these markets, learning lessons for a very long time, and they can interpret them. We speak meat at USMEF, but these guys speak meat too. And that will turn into demand for US beef, pork, and lamb, and ultimately support just generally the farming community, which is why we're here.
It's very intriguing because I think, you know, every country has that same groupings of people, the sub-economic, the middle class, the ones that want those high-end cuts. But I think it's so unique that an organization like USMEF can come in, educate, have folks like you, Matt, with boots on the ground to be that liaison between everybody to fit the individual needs that each one of those categories have, which is so different than, you know, a company just coming in from, you know, the States, Canada, wherever, and saying, here, we want to sell you meat.
No, ideally, Susan, it comes back to just strategically forward thinking and investing behind these markets. And I must commend, I mean, the USDA for, yes, I mean, they have programs like the EMP or this regional RAPP program. Those dollars leveraged together help us do incredible volumes of research. And as a result of that, I know that someone, when I talk to them and they're telling me who they are with respect to the market, we can do some digging behind the scenes and vet every single person and actually know this is the right person in this market to deal with. And again, in different markets, they support us as well. So we have a really great, healthy working relationship with the FAS in country, they often accompany us to meetings, etc. But all of this is maybe using someone with the skills like I would have, just trying to uncover and arbitrage what is the niche that will start the thin edge of the wedge to drive this home. And it is what we're absolutely committed to. So we visit, and we, in the last little while, we visited 18 African countries physically, and we were working remotely in another five. So sincerely, we are absolutely committed in Dan Ostrom's leadership. I mean, we can see he's invested in Africa, and it's important. You know, we need all the markets we can get.
What a great way to introduce folks and introduce their palate to a different quality of meat. You know, you talked about buffalo, for example, and now you're going to bring in beef and pork and maybe even lamb to say, here, try this.
You know, one of my favorite evenings, I have a fully functional commercial kitchen that faces industry, and I was hosting a beef producer from South Africa, his daughter. She's lived that kind of ranch lifestyle her whole life, and we got to feed her a really nice US triple in for the first time. And this expression of someone's eyes just glossing over a little bit and that little smile, just so for me, you know, it's one of this meat gospel of ours is actually one of the best things in the world to be able to facilitate. And I can tell you already at some of the functions, we've showcased some incredible pork, some incredible beef. We have a full-time chef tonight hosting a dinner. There's brisket. There are some incredible steaks. There is incredible ribs as well. So, you know, it's an immersive experience. You know, you can tell anyone, hey, learn about this and try and educate someone from a, you know, a front of the room, take some notes. This is what we're about. But once you let them eat the product, it's an absolute game changer. So that's, again, it's made possible through RAPP funding or the EMP. When we did it, we designed the EMP so that I could, off the back of this event, make sure everyone gets sampled. So again, the US trade doesn't have to have that expense, or they don't know, you know, which product or necessarily works. So let us take that pressure off them. Let's get the product in the market, make sure they are sampling and trialing and tasting. And then from there, we just are helping them get that much closer to success.
I do have one final question for you, Matt. What excites you about the job that you have? I mean, you kind of explained it just now a little bit, but as you look at the role that you have and that link between our US producers and the consumers in Africa, especially when you're in Ghana right now and other places, but what excites you?
Look, I don't think I'd have enough time to explain it because I'm thrilled to be a part of this team. In terms of what excites me is, you know, Simon Sinek, one of the things he's known for is that your fundamental why, you know, why are we doing this as USMEF? Doesn't make commercial sense, et cetera. And I just think when I look at like the wealth creation in the world, how the West was won and where it got us. I mean, you guys, the railroads West, like people just made bank. They made huge money being in that sector at the right place at the right time. If 2100, more than a third of the planet live on the African continent, I promise you, making sure that American ag is well geared with the right partners on this continent, we're going to win this. Fundamentally, we throw away more food in the world than the world needs every single day. We just don't have a match of how to get it to folks. But we want to try and facilitate that absolute nutrition at the bottom end. So people are just scraping by. We can just get absolutely equip them with something super wholesome from the US. And on the other side, as the demographics just grow, I mean, I am excited because it is this like final frontier, the shadows. I've spent enough time trading arbitrage in Africa. Not everyone knows exactly what this prospect looks like or feels like, or they don't understand the risk that we're associated with trading here, but navigating that risk will be one of the most courageous and yet rewarding things that any trading company out of the US in ag can do. And I think people are getting that. So, I mean, all of this excites me. I love international trade. I love actually just making friends cross-culturally. I think it's one of the big privileges of this is that we're in a room and we bring trust because we want to make sure that the supply side and the buy side succeed. So we just, I get off on encouraging people and making sure that their businesses can, we can help them win if we can.
That's my conversation with Matt Copeland with the U.S. Meat Export Federation, their representative in Africa. This is the American Ag Network.